God, thanks for today. God, thank you for an opportunity to be together. God, an opportunity for community, opportunity to worship you. God, thank you that your word says, don't forsake this time. Don't forsake this time of coming together and corporately, in community, worshiping, singing your praises. And so, God, I am grateful for this day, the day that you've made. And God, I just pray these next couple minutes as we talk about some hard things, some difficult things, but ultimately, God, we celebrate you and who you are and what you've done on the earth and why you came. And so, God, we give you praise and honor for who you are, Jesus. God, I just pray these next couple minutes that you'd soften our hearts. Whatever has our attention today, whatever it is that we're facing, whatever it is that we're going through, God, would you help us today? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I would say we've been in an interesting time, you know, since March. And we've been doing something every day, probably but on a much larger scale. It's something I think we do often. In fact, on average, we do this an hour a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 52 weeks out of the year. We do this every single day. You want to guess what it is? We wait. We wait on average an hour a day, whether you're at the doctor, in fact, they'll tell you your average lifespan of an average lifespan, which is 78, you'll wait 5 years of your life. 6 months of those, you'll wait at a red light. 6 months of your life will be spent at a red light. 5 years of your life, you will be waiting on something. And depending on who you're married to, it could be 10 years. Depending on how many of those kids are like her, it could be 15 years. Or him. Whoever you're waiting on. We wait for a long time. And waiting produces so much in us. Waiting. And I'll give you some key things. Waiting means that we give God the benefit of the doubt that he knows what he is doing. Waiting does this. Waiting also is God's way of seeing it if we trust him before we move forward. Waiting also reminds me that I'm not in charge. And it also reminds me that I'm not God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, and Isaiah is saying this 700 years before Jesus was born. He said, for a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Matthew 1:23 echoes this prophecy 700 years later when it says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. A lot happens in the waiting. But I found personally that in my time of living on this earth, these 44 years, that waiting often causes us to have questions. There's been several times in my life where I've asked this question, where are you, God? 700 years, these guys have been waiting for the Messiah. If you're a Jew, the disciples, they understood. Most of them were fishermen. They understood timing. They understood waiting. This wasn't a luxury for them. This was their job. As a Jew, you had been longing. You had been waiting for the Messiah to come. Waiting was nothing new to them. Yet in the waiting, we sometimes lose ourselves. We sometimes wonder, God, are you still in this? God, where are you in this? I can remember at an early age, my family, we would watch a lot of these ABC movies, and they're usually a lot of times about real stories, real happenings. And I remember one of the first movies I watched was a movie called Adam. Maybe you remember it, but it's the story of John Walsh's son, Adam, who was kidnapped and found 16 days later. And I can remember in that moment, as a kid, thinking, where are you, God? I remember thinking that in 2001, 9/11. I remember thinking, like, God, where are you? And there's several times in my life, May 5th, 2009, when the Colemans were murdered, I remember going, God, where are you? October 6th, 2016, when my friend Blake Snyder was killed in the line of duty. Where are you, God? August 23rd, 2019. when Nick Hopkins was killed in the line of duty. God, where are you? Where are you? This is the question that the people in Matthew 1 are writing about. God, where are you? Where are you? You promised a Messiah. You promised you were coming to earth. God, where are you? Where are you in these moments? God, what is happening on the earth? I have two questions. Where are you, Lord? And what do I do when the plans change? My plans. How are you when plans change? How are you when you're headed this direction and something happens in your life and now you're going this direction? What happens when it doesn't turn out, doesn't look like, doesn't go how you thought it was going to go? Like, how do you respond when the plans change and now all of a sudden you're living in this space between, as we sang about, this unforeseen. And now you're saying things like, God, where are you? God, what happened? Are you mad at me? God, are you still here? I love Matthew chapter 1, specifically just three verses, because it gives us this understanding of Mary and Joseph, and it leaves a lot to wonder. It leaves a lot for us to wonder about, to think about. If your life could be in a paragraph from 2020, like, what would that look like, right? Just a paragraph, just three sentences. You get three sentences. What is your recap of 2020 look like? Right? Well, probably you get some highlights. You'd get like these positive moments, maybe some low moments, but there would be a lot of space in between. And so there's a lot of space in between Matthew 1, 18 through 21, where there's a lot unknown. We don't know some things. And so we're going to talk a little bit about plans changing today and how we respond, because here is the inevitable. You're going to have a plan and someone's going to mess it up. You're going to have a plan and you're going to mess it up. You're going to have a plan, and it's not going to look like the brochure. It's going to look a little differently. You're going to have a plan, and now you see a detour. And you go, God, where are you? This is Matthew 1, and we know this about Mary and Joseph. And if you've been around at all, you know maybe the story of Mary and Joseph. And the story of Mary and Joseph is interesting because I ask questions out of their story, like, how did they meet? Who arranged this? I like to look at culture. When I read the Bible, there are three things you instantly need to do. You need to look at and you need to go, who are they writing to? What is culture like during this time? And what does this mean for me in 2020? Like, those are three things. When you're reading the Bible, okay, go, who are they talking to? Who are the audience? Who is the audience? Secondly, what is culture? Okay, so Mary and Joseph, most likely they were arranged marriages, which, can I get a father of a teenager in this room to say amen to that? Come on, I have three amens. Shame on you guys. Like, I want to pick who my kids are going to marry. And I don't care if you're mad at me. But I'm sure glad my parents didn't. Oh, kids. And this is what it is. They got a plan. So I can read in between. The in between is that they were going this way. They were engaged. I know the excitement. I've been married. Am married. I've been around a lot of people that have gotten married. I've done a lot of weddings. So got a good percentage on that weddings of married still. Not married, right? I've been around some good brides. And I've been around some bridezillas. None of you in this room. Maybe one or two. But outside of that, I know the excitement, the anticipation, all that comes with weddings. I say one statement when I do a wedding. I say at the rehearsal, which is so funny, right? You do a rehearsal for standing there. It's awesome. Anyway, so I say this at the rehearsal, every wedding I've ever done, I'm going to listen to one voice and one voice only, and that's her. If you got a problem, take it up with her. I'm only listening to her. It's the only person I listen to. You know why? Because nothing else matters. She's dreamed of this moment. She's dreamed of this day. I'm not messing that thing up. I'm just hoping to get the right name, right? I'm hoping not to screw this thing up. I'm hoping that what I got a plan and this is it. I'm not messing with your day. If you want flowers and all, whatever it is that you're doing, do it. You got a plan. You've dreamed of this day. You've dreamed literally about this. I don't care. Do it. Do whatever you want. You're in charge. Okay? And then I say to the guy, like, get used to this. This is your life. Are you sure you want to do this, right? I've never done a wedding where someone didn't show up. Is it sad that I kind of want that to happen? There's still a little bit of me that likes a little bit of drama, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the guy at Thanksgiving that comes in and is like, so this election thing, do you think it's over? And then I walk away, you know? That guy, he's just Uncle Eddie-ing it all day long, isn't he? I'm a poop disturber. Anyway, here they are. They're moving forward. And then something happens. This is Matthew 1:18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. I love that opening line. Because you who have kids in this room, like, you know that line. This is how Jake Michael was born. This is how Carson James was born. Right? I mean, you know, like, as a parent, you instantly go back to, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. Like, you know the emotions. You know the drive. You know the appointment with the doctor. You know everything about that, right? Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. There is a lot in between this story that we do not know. There's a lot in between the story that you read this and you go, I can bring my story into it. I can bring Hallmark into it a little bit. I can understand, like, how did they meet and what was their encounters like and what were these moments. And all you're doing in these couple sentences is getting the highlights of 18 and 19, two verses where you're getting the highlights of what happened and how quick it happened. But there's a lot in here that they planned, that they had hoped for, that they dreamed of. And in one moment, a righteous young lady has an encounter with God. And this encounter with God radically changes, not just who she is. You have to understand, when God speaks to you, it doesn't just change you. It changes every single person around you. Now generations are changed because you've said yes to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Don't look at it as this is just me making the decision. No. This is not just you making a decision. This is you being radically changed and changing the course of history. And the Bible tells us that Mary had to have this awkward conversation. I mean, can we picture this for a moment? Hey, just want you to know, I know we've not been together, but I'm pregnant. No fret, it's God. It's good. The Holy Spirit. I've used some breakup lines, but this is one of those, you know what I mean? Like, you can just tell me you don't like me, right? You can just say, you know, it's you, it's not me. I mean, you can say anything you want in this moment. Could you imagine for a moment, can you read between the lines the reaction, the response? Can you read between the lines of, well, you and I don't get this because engagement in culture at this time meant marriage. When you were engaged to someone, you were pretty much done. There was no breaking it off. It meant divorce. It meant you broke it. Like, it meant this was not common. This was, I mean, for Mary to say to Joseph, I'm pregnant, risking the fact that he could break this off, and in breaking this off and changing the plans and going a different direction, what could happen in this moment? Ridicule, isolation. This is not a culture right now that welcomed this to happen. This was humiliation. This was going to your family and friends and humiliating and talking to them about your family name and the change, most likely because they were arranged, going to them. That's why Joseph, being the righteous man, said he would do this privately and not publicly. It shows the character of who Joseph is when the plans change. Let me ask this. How do you respond when the plans change? Could they say about us, and Jamie, because he was righteous, handled this well? See, there's no answer. It's not like there's an answer to what he's going through. There's not an answer. There's no answer at this moment. There's no end story. I don't know how this is going to end. I don't know what's going to go on. But all of a sudden, God speaks and God encounters. 3 years ago, there was a memory that showed up of a statement that I'd made during our Christmas of 3 years ago. And it says this: you don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. This is what Proverbs says. Proverbs says you can make plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Amen. You can make plans. Just know that his purpose does prevail. Verse 20. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I think this is the moment that I think all of us have to come to when our plans change. When our plans change, we have to be convinced that God's in this or we'll never move on. Like, we'll never move past it if I think God is against me. I'll never move past it if I think there's some evil plan that's coming out. I'll never move past it if I feel like God has isolated himself. If I feel like, see, your problem isn't with people. Typically, our problem is with God. Typically, I'm mad that the plans change, not because you change it, because God, where in the world are you? Like, why are you not here? Can you please help me understand what it is I thought you were doing, and now what you're doing, you're saying you're in this? The most powerful statement is, for the child within her was conceived. Now the rumors, the reputation, how I thought it should be are all gone. He says, this is a God moment. Will you trust me when the plans change? Amen. Will you trust me? Will you trust me when the plans don't go how you thought they should go? Picture this for a moment, you guys. Picture this for this moment right now. It's 33 years later. This woman who said, yes, God, I trust you. I'll do whatever it is. This woman, 33 years later, as she looked upon a cross. As a parent, I can't fathom. No one talks enough. Maybe the Catholic Church does a better job at this, but I don't think we talk enough about how Mary responded to watching her son die the worst possible death. And to be coming around and going, God, where are you in this? I'm watching my son who's innocent. You said there was a plan. You said there was a hope. You said this is what you are doing. Why am I watching my son go through what he's going through? She looks on as he breathes his last. And then we discover that the purpose was you. The purpose was you. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And guys, get this. This is why he came. For he will save his people from their sins. Let me ask this. This is a tough question. Not expecting you to answer, definitely not out loud. Do it internally. Write it down. Do you view that when the change of plans happens in my life, that there's gifts that come from those changes? Like, do you get so caught up in what happened in the change of plans that you miss the gift that comes from the plan? Paul said this to the Corinthian church. He said this, and it's the only time in all of the Bible that this word is used. He says this, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thank God for his indescribable gift. You know that word indescribable means there's no words. I'm at a loss for words. For some of us, that's a miracle, right? I'm at a loss for words. And this gift that you've given to me, thank God for this indescribable gift. Let me ask again, when your plans change and loss happens, do you see what happens from there as a gift? See, without Mary saying yes, there's no Jesus. And without Jesus, there's no redemption of our sins. And without no redemption from our sins, we're lost. But thank God for his indescribable Amen. Gift. As you guys know, well, I'll even say this. You look at John Walsh, and what came out of his son's death. More criminals have been caught because of his TV show, because John Wall saw the death of his son in 1981 and said, I've got to turn this for the good. And he used that to radically change culture. I would say he's changed culture because he was driven by loss. Whit, I'm going to ask you to come up. So, on August the 23rd, 2019, when Nick was killed in the line of duty, and I got the most dreadful phone call that I've ever got from Nick's brother, Zach, and going to the hospital and seeing this, experiencing this, and going, God, where are you? Where are you? Like, what are you doing? It was hard in the moment to see the good, to see a gift. Fast forward, you guys have always done, you know, frozen eggs, and is it IBF? So you've always done that, and there was one egg left. And I remember your phone call to me, and your phone call was, we have one egg, and I'm trusting God, right? I'm trusting God with what this looks like. And because of that, the egg took. 12% chance. And so you're seeing a baby that is a gift inside of Whitney, a boy. And listen, I'm not diminishing your other three kids. I'm not diminishing the role of the older, the younger. They're special. They're all in between. You can say you got a favorite. I don't recommend it, but you got one that you lean towards. You know what I'm saying? You lean that way. Obviously, this boy is going to be a gift. A gift to you. Verna, to you. A gift to family. To say that there's something special about this boy is unbelievable. Now, I can't fathom. I mean, for a moment, can I compare you and Mary? I mean, Mary's saying, she's not Mary, but Mary saying to people, I'm pregnant. I imagine you've gotten some interesting responses, right? Hey, I'm pregnant. Like, huh? Like,
Nick's grandma.
So, I'm sure there's, if you let it like rest for like 5, 10, 15 minutes, you know what I mean? You let people like, what? Like, what is happening, right? I kind of did that. But obviously you called me, so I knew the story. A gift. Let me say this. This is Weston on the screen. Weston is 28 years old. Cystic fibrosis. End of his life. And Weston was, he lives in Kansas City and in need, or he was going to die. And Weston received Nick's lungs. And so this is Weston today.
Oh, Jordan.
Sorry. You can have a plan. God has a purpose. You can have a plan. This is not an either or. This is God going, I can turn good into what was done and radically change people. I can turn what has happened to you that you didn't plan, that you didn't expect, and I can turn it. Watch. Again, the waiting, these moments, this is what, when we find out, God, do I really trust you? God, are you really in control? God, am I pretending to be God, or are you God? In these moments, Mary and Joseph are going, God, what in the world are you doing? Do you trust me, Mary? Do you trust me, Joseph? It's going to radically change the world. Amen. I'll let you go. Thank you. Paul saying this, and guys, you can come up, but Paul saying this to a group of people that have been transformed in culture, but you guys, just do a quick Google search of the Corinthian church. Do a quick Google search. Do it on your own. You can do it now. As Pastor Sean said, just go ahead. That's between you and the Lord. Just throwing that out there. Do a quick Google search of Corinthian church. What it was like in culture. How crazy it was. The sin that was running rampant. The crazy that was happening around the world. It made our world look kind of normal. Don't pretend like we're living in this moment where it's all of a sudden gotten crazy. No, Paul's writing to a Corinthian church where it is crazy. Things are happening. And he says, but thank God for his indescribable, I have no words for this gift. And what was his point? His point was, I've been shipwrecked, I've been without food, I've had people turn their backs on me, but I cannot forget that when the plans change, when they don't go how I thought they were going to go, thank God for his indescribable gift. Amen. Thank God that he sent his son anyway. Thank God that he had a plan, and his plan was to save people from their sins. And I can't tell you that the plan that you have is always going to be what it is. I can tell you right now, there's so many people in our world that are experiencing loss, they're experiencing death. We felt it on Thanksgiving. There was an empty chair at our table on Thanksgiving because Kelly's grandfather's gone. We've experienced death. We've experienced hardship. We've experienced plans that have been blown up. But don't ever forget that amongst the purpose, amongst the plan, there is still a gift. Don't lose sight. Don't lose focus. Don't jump ship because it got difficult. Don't forget that God's purpose will prevail. Amen. And he has a plan. And our job is to do what Mary said. Lord, let it be as you said. Lord, not my will. Your will be done. God, here I am. Would you just do whatever it is that you want to do? Here I am. And I can't tell you there'll be heartache. I can't tell you that there won't be joy and trial and confusion. But I can tell you this. Thank God for his indescribable gift. Would you stand with me today? All month long, people want to know ahead of what we're talking about. Christmas and life is, why did Jesus come? What's the point in all of this? If you're in this room or you're watching online and you're like, how can you be encouraged today? Know this. Jesus came to save you, to radically change your life. And you got friends and you have family. And they might be that crazy cousin that you just saw at Thanksgiving. Or maybe that's the one you asked to stay home. I don't know what it's like. But God came and he died for them. You know why I love the Grinch? Can I just say this? This wasn't planned. You know why I love the Grinch? Because it shows us, I know, it's a cartoon, 2018 cartoon's a little better, in my personal opinion, I just think it's cuter. It shows that when people respond to something happening in their life, that people watch. Hey, you stole my Christmas, we're going to sing anyway. Why? Because the joy doesn't come from gifts. The joy doesn't come from what I put on my list. The joy comes from who I am and who I know I am. I'm a son and daughter of the King. So you might take something away from me. You might take a life away from me. You might change my plans. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to sing anyway. And there was a Grinch. And you know a Grinch. Maybe you are the Grinch today. There was a Grinch that looked on and saw how they responded. And what changed? He saw their response. You know why a dying world doesn't want to come to church? Because they see how we react when something bad happens. We shut down. We throw in the towel. This now is not the time to throw in the towel. Now is the time to move forward, to keep pressing in, to keep loving even though they're not lovable, to keep giving, to keep throwing your life into the fire and going, God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. Why? Because there is a dying world watching us. And they want to know what is so different about you. What is so different? When the plans change, you guys, when they change, keep moving. Keep moving. There's a gift on the other side. There's a gift on the other side, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray together right now. Jesus, thank you for your indescribable gift. So right now in this moment, God, we run to you. God, there's no walking. There's no trotting. There's a running to you, God, because we're tired of doing it on our own. God, we're tired of carrying these burdens and the heaviness and the weight. God, thank you for your promise today. It says, come to me, all of you who are weary. You're tired. You're carrying something you were never intended to carry. God, would you help us today? Would you help us today? In the name of Jesus. If you're in this room, we're going to sing this song. But if you need prayer for anything, there are people at the front. I'm going to encourage you just to make your way. Someone will be here to pray with you. It's a great opportunity to say, all right, I'm done.